Buckle up, hotties. It's time to talk some hoops. Welcome to Crunch Wears No Pants with Brandon, Nate, and Jordan.
What's freaking poppin', panty people? Welcome to Crunch Wears No Pants, proudly a part of the future NBA Finals Champions Podcast Network. I don't even want to introduce us. Let's talk about the freaking game, dude. Is this our first ever game recap pod? Also, we're brought to you by Pull Tab Sports, freaking Lamb Chops, Chill Boys, Den Heads, and Duke Cannon. Brandon Durf, oh my gosh. This is our first ever game recap pod, game one versus Phoenix. What a freaking ride, guys. Freaking ride, dude.
Oh my God. I can't believe it. Are you going to ask us how the vibes are, or should we just go into it?
Okay. No, hang on. So we're going to talk about the format of the episode, because even though this is a pretty ad hoc pod, we're going to do first half of the episode, pure fan vibes. All right. No analytics, pure fan analytics. Second half, analytics, talk about things we saw on the court. They're probably blind. Who knows what happens? But yeah, gentlemen, how are the freaking vibes? Brandon, start us off.
They're good. They're really good.
Where was the moan? I was waiting for your big moan.
That was too much.
That soundbite is going to feed me for years.
Yeah. Jake, Ruff, you ready?
I don't think, similar to how we talked about on the episode before the Augie episode, like the actual weekly episode, how we didn't think that game 82 could have gone any worse. I don't think today could have gone any better. We talked about how important it was for them to kind of come out swinging and not get blitzed in the first quarter again. I didn't think this was on the table. Like, it, when I was given the options of outcomes today, I didn't think absolute bludgeoning of the Suns for game one was on the table. And like you said, we'll get into the more like details of the players involved. Mm-hmm. Outside of Mike Conley,
everyone was
most
great.
People had like close to perfect games. We'll get deeper into it. I think two people that I really want to shout out specifically, because we rave on this show about Nikhil Alexander Walker a lot. We rave on this show about Naz Reid a lot. We rave on this show about Kat and Rui a lot. I don't think we should let it get lost in the box score how fantastic Jaden McDaniels was
plus
in
18,
this game from
mm-hmm.
the start. And I mean, just like set the tone. He had the block on Booker right away and was like going after rebounds and super active. I think he was one of our best players tonight. And I think Karl Anthony Towns, he was a minus two. He had a couple of bullshit fouls called on him that kind of railroaded some of his momentum in the third quarter. But he did exactly what we talked about him having to do. And he punished the Suns for going small, and really like put them in a position so that they, when they started making those threes and Ant and Nikhil and Naz all kind of started doing their thing in the third quarter, that was putting the game away because Carl had kind of grinded them to a 10-point lead to that point. But
yeah, we had that punch drunk Wolves tweet in the chat. Like, we sent that, like, how it was like Carl gave it a medium lead until he became a massive lead. I'm like, if punch drunk Wolves is saying that, dude, you know he had a good game. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's a change of heart.
So like I said, I don't want it to get lost how fantastic Carl and Jaden were in those games, because I think those guys have gotten a lot of flack this year, and in what's been so far the biggest game of the year, they more than showed up. Mm-hmm. I am rambling. Durf, you go.
I just want to say, like, I thought it was pretty appropriate that the Minnesota Timberwolves celebrated 420 by smoking the Suns on live on live television. Unbelievable performance. I'll lean more into the fan heavy side and then we can get into the deeper specific later. But wow. I was telling Tira after the fact, it felt like that first like third of the season where we were on that really, really hot streak, and the cadence of this game was really similar, where the first quarter is pretty close. the second quarter, you start to build a lead and then you go into half and then the other team kind of comes out punching to start the third. And then we build that lead even. It's like it gets tight again. And then we build that lead and a big cushion in the third. And then that fourth is just kind of like keeping that lead. And this obviously this one we pulled away, but kind of that same formula, I feel like, that we played with for the first third of this third of the year.
That's a great observation, dude. That's perfect.
It was so fun to watch. It was so refreshing. And I mean, I don't want to make this about the Suns. I want to make this about the Wolves. But it was really interesting hearing Augie talk the last pod about some of the things to look out for the Suns and noticing those things as the game went along. The fact that they have incredible talent on their team, but it's obvious when you watch them play that they're playing, it's more individual performances than it is team basketball. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jim Pete called it out, I think today or yesterday, when he was talking about the Wolves and how we play so cohesively. And it's like top to bottom, it's leadership, maybe not ownership, but everywhere else.
No one even knows who the owner is.
Yeah, exactly. But top to bottom, like these guys gel so well, and it makes for good on the court production. And I hope that it continues, but it was so evident today that we just were kind of one mind.
Where were you guys? I guess I'll start with Durf and then back to you, Brandon. Where did you guys watch the game? How was your game time experience? What foods did you prepare? I want to really know about your at home fan experience before I do. I'll go heavy into like the fan experience at the Target Center, which was spoiler. It was crazy.
Yeah,
But like, there's something, you know. I will squeal about it, Durf. Don't worry, I will tell you about it. I want to know, what are you guys doing? Like, what was the spread? What did you drink?
We'll wrap around. So I'll finish mine. We'll hear from Beck, and then Jally. I want to hear about your vibes, the inexperience, and then what the food setup was like. We watched it at home. It was just Tier and I. And actually, this morning I woke up thinking we should go to the game. Like, I really wanted to go. And I was looking at tickets up until a half hour before it started. And Tira was too nervous. She just said, like, she felt like she'd be overwhelmed being in the arena just in case that we started to lose and get away from our winning basketball. So I was like, all right, fine. We'll watch it from home. But we went out to brunch with some friends and I ordered the big deal Bloody Mary, and it was $22
because it was a full meal.
It's insane. I know. I posted a Twitter pic and Claire retweeted it, and she's like, the Midwest, like, unbelievable. It was a bloody with a oversized pickle sticking out of it, some fried pickles, a couple wings, another couple smaller pickles, like the normal garnishes that you have. And then, what am I missing? Oh, some Minnesota sushi. So like, you know, dill pickle wrapped in ham with some cream cheese.
But ratio was aggressive.
Ratio was bad. And also some people were in my DMs being like, this is an atrocity, America at its worst. It's like, okay, relax. This wasn't even the biggest.
I think racism is America at its worst.
They offered, there's like a $32.
Worse
one.
Than Bloody Mary's, huh?
I think the worst American thing is like racism, the systemic racism in the country.
Colonization.
Yeah, colonization. I think those are one and the same, right? Two sides of the same coin. Let's see, number two.
Greed. What about like wealth disparity?
Yeah, greed, wealth disparity two. I think Midwestern Bloody Marys three. I think the military industrial complex four. I think that's what it is.
The biggest option they had was like $33, and it had two hamburgers attached to it on top of all the other things I said, and then waffle fries. Which, how do you get a skewer through like 15 waffle fries? That's wild. Anyway,
I have a stomachache listening to you.
I feel like I just gave so much detail and I didn't even talk about us watching the game.
But yeah, so basically you got liquored up beforehand and just watched in your lovely sunroom.
Yeah.
Wow, lucky.
It was great.
Brandon, were you alone watching the game?
The playoffs really stressed me out.
Are you one of those guys who can't watch with people?
Most of the time, when the series is still in the balance, I have to watch them alone. Uh-huh. For basketball specifically. I can do baseball with other people because baseball is kind of a slower paced game, but I was alone in my basement stressing out until the clock hit zero.
Were you pacing?
No, but Suns fan Nate O'Connick, who we mentioned on the last pod, texted me with like 2 minutes left when they were up by 20. And he was like, great game. You guys kicked our ass. And I just was like, it's not over yet.
I know.
Yeah.
He did the same thing to me at the end of the third. And I was like, whoa, man, there's a lot of ball game left.
Yeah. I told Augie, and I'm not talking about the series with you guys. I can't because like I was about to tweet some just not mean shit at Augie or Nate, but I was going to tweet like, from the pod count, I was a little bit liquored up. I was like, bro, if I see Suns merch in the concourse, I'm throwing money at you. Get your money up, broke boy. Get to the team store and get right. Like, I was going to tweet, like, just horrendous things about Suns fans living in Minnesota, which is mean, and I shouldn't tweet that, but whatever. You guys want to hear about the in-game experience, in-arena experience for game one?
I want to hear about it because it looked awesome.
Give us the vibes.
Sick, dude. So we got there about 30 minutes before tip-off. MC John B., past and future guests in the pod, was what they would put people on the Jumbotron. They set out cool, awesome t-shirts, really cool playoff 2024 t-shirts for everyone to wear for the whiteout. And if you weren't wearing them, he'd be like, yeah, put that t-shirt on, man. He was like bullying people on the Jumbotron. And like the cameraman would keep going back to people that didn't put it on, and that you gotta do it. And people would be exasperated because John was bullying them into putting on shirts. It was so loud from like the opening tip, the slightly demonic intro videos that we've come to love. The crowd was a huge factor. Even when like the Suns would make runs and like push and score points, like the fans, the cynicism is going away quickly. Like if they go on like, what's up? Could you hear it?
Well, I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I wanted to see if that like it came through on the TV, on watching on TV, that like there was less of that sense. Like when the Suns cut it to 4 in the third quarter, it wasn't like the here we go again, like crowd fell deathly silent. Like it felt like people were still into it and like getting behind things.
Yeah. Were they starting to like cheer guys back into the game? Cause it felt like there was a few moments where they were like, yeah, let's pump the crowd up.
Yeah, it was like that. It wasn't like there's always that one guy that's like, oh, come on, guys, wake up. I sat next to a guy during the Grizzlies game and went to, like, you got to wake up, Kat, you got to wake up, and it's like, no, it was like, no, come on, guys, like pick it up, like more encouraging stuff. The only thing I didn't like was how they chanted overrated at Kevin Durant. I'm like, that's not true.
No.
Don't do that.
Risky.
Wrong. All the people that taunt, I don't want it. Also, Kevin Durant was giving Rudy Gobert his flowers in the press this week. Like, he might be the only person, the only non-teammate to be nice to Rudy Gobert. Let's just be cool. Kevin Durant's a cool guy. Again, great tweeter, like we talked about. Let's see. They had they had mason jar drinks that they have. I have a mason jar now. It says Wolves back on it. That they pour like a vodka crayon in. It's so sick. Nice. It's being washed right now. They had a cool pennant in the team store. Like the playoff merch this year is sick. I got like a crew neck, the blue one. I think I retweeted it from the pod account. Yeah, dude, it was electric. It was so good. I'm addicted to going to playoff games. Like, I'm going to blow way too much money on these in the next couple weeks. Cause
was there any, so I saw Adrian Peterson was in there. JJ was in there. Was there any other like big celebs that we haven't seen much of?
Bill Bice was there, not in the Jordan Dye seats.
Nice.
The torch has been passed, but Bill Bice was there. The AP one was cool. Josh Metellus or whatever, Brian O'Neill.
Yeah.
Gary Trent was there in a big furry coat again.
Gary Trent, the biggest.
In a suite with Cole Aldridge. And I said, yeah, everyone else except for Cole Aldridge. Boo! And I was cussing out Cole.
Enemy of the pod.
Enemy of the pod, Cole Aldridge. But yeah, man, staff was on fire. Fans were wearing white. A lot of camaraderie in the concourse, which has always been like a Timberwolves thing. But like, I was wearing my blue AE1s, and like folks were commenting on them. I was in line at the bar, and people were like reading my "Fears the Mind Killer" shirt. Like, oh yeah, doing what? Like, you know, like a lot of positive interactions with strangers.
I meant to ask you about that. Did you get that custom print? Did you get that custom printed?
No, it's from T-Public. Someone made it, and I just bought it a couple months ago because I figured they're going to bring back the whiteout. So I bought it, and it finally came. which I'm like, when they said game one's so a whiteout, I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is so good. Coming to life. But yeah, it was a really awesome. And we've talked about the Timberwolves community, but that was so present. Like, just complimenting people's merch. We were just chatting it up in line. I got a soft serve. The vibes were insane. I know it's steep, and I know money is a thing for folks, but if you could swing it just to get like the upper deck somehow, some way, I couldn't recommend it more.
Also, just look for giveaways, because there was a bunch for this game. Anissa McLaughlin was posting. Yeah, they had a giveaway, like a handful of people. So just keep an eye on social media. Yeah. You know?
MC John B, I think, had like a $1 raffle to get some good tickets. So the fan vibes are great. The Twitter was on fire. it was a fun day to be a Wolves member. Let's talk about the on the court stuff. Okay. Should we start with Carl? Because since the first half was his.
I think we should just start with maybe a simple statement. Yeah. Small ball
is
dead.
Dead.
Man,
RIP. We out-rebounded the Suns 52 to 28.
What?
We scored 52 points in the paint tonight.
Yes. That's so great.
I was listening to Max and Rosen talk about that afterwards, and I almost swerved off the road. I drove Tira to a friend's, and he said that, and I like lost control of my body for a moment.
You swerved because you're still drunk from that massive Bloody Mary with like alcohol infused beef jerky in it.
Yeah. So what I found most interesting though about like small ball being dead in that game is that Rudy Gobert, he had 14 points, 16 rebounds, and he was a plus 19 from the field. So if I were the Suns, though, in that situation, I would have just played him off the floor, which is like what I've heard is what you can do in the playoffs with Rudy Gobert.
I've been led to believe he can't play in the fourth.
Well, yeah. So it seems like a weird strategy for them to have not played him off the floor and to have actually been totally and completely dominated by him from start to finish in that game. Like, it's a weird decision that they made there when that's just like right there for the taking.
Well, I let me stop you there. I don't know if you saw, but he didn't play the end of the game. I don't think he played the last handful of minutes. So I think they did play him off the floor.
Yeah. One way to play Rudy off the floor is to lose in such hilarious fashion.
Big brain mentality from the Suns.
Oh God. That's a good bit. Yeah, Rudy was crazy. That and one mid-range jumper.
Oh my, that sent my real, soul out of
that's
my body.
Real basketball.
Dude, the turnaround. And then he cashed the free throw too.
Yeah.
That's gotta be so demoralizing as a team. Like, you fought back into the game, you've cut it to five, you've got Rudy Gobert like 10 feet away from the hoop. Back to the basket, shot clock's winding down, and he turns around and hits that shit off you.
That's like what KD and Beal do to us. We play perfect defense for like 22 seconds.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like the Jokic meme.
Where he winds up. And
okay, so when Rudy shoots those mid ranges, I don't see his wrists like shoot. I don't know how the ball gets projected. I've never seen his like shooting motion, because I feel like it's just like out and all of a sudden it's going forward. Have you guys actually seen him like shoot that shot?
He just like, because he's got such long arms, he just kind of like short arm stuff. It's really weird. Yeah. Because if he does just like a normal shooting motion with his arms, first of all, there's just a lot that can go wrong directionally, but also like he would shoot it so far because his arms are just like these giant catapults.
Yeah, he always has the ball out here, and I feel like he just kind of goes like, I think he just kind of is like a mini Rick Barry like flick, like, yeah, underhand flick, and the ball just goes, there's no arc on it. It's the weirdest angle ever. That's why they always bank shots.
His shooting motion's like from the chest almost, and so the only time you see his wrist engage is when he's shooting free throws, because if you were to do that, he'd be like shooting at somebody's
face.
And
it's like mostly wrist when he shoots the free throws.
Let's talk about Carl. Let's go through the big. So Rudy dominant.
Wait, real quick. Sorry. You finish your point. I was going to say something about Rudy before you transition.
Oh, well, no, I was transitioning out of it. So let's talk about it.
I was just going to say the one thing that I like, So I finished watching the game. I went and dropped Tyr off at a friend's, and I came back and just started rewatching the game because I had to wait for you guys. And I do not want it to get lost, even with KD's good stat line. Like, he had a very good game. But Kat jumping out on guards, like him jumping out and playing perimeter defense on and like causing steals and late shot clock, almost shot clock violation.
You're talking about Rudy?
Yeah, on Booker and multiple times on KD was so impressive.
The steal, Rudy poke away and steal to seal it was nice.
Unbelievable.
I do want to talk, like, we can get into specific players, but I also want to talk about, like, the defensive game plan and kind of what worked in that
give
game.
Us your, give us your take on that.
Specifically, like we talked all week about kind of what are we supposed to do with Carl in this matchup? Like, what is the ideal arrangement of who guards who? And at least where I had arrived, I'm not sure where you guys, if you guys agreed or not, but I had kind of arrived at the idea that I thought the best answer was to put him on Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that gave you the ability to then slide Mike Conley over to Grayson Allen, and then kind of sick Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, Nikhil Alexander-Walker when he's on the floor on Booker and Beal and really neutralize them. And that's what they went with. And Mike didn't have a great offensive game, but he guarded Grayson Allen, and Grayson Allen was 0 for 3 from the field, and he had 4 points. Grayson Allen's killed them this year, so that was huge. But I really liked, too, that they didn't kind of get overwhelmed by the KD performance, because Kevin Durant was really, really good offensively in this game. Kevin Durant got his. I think it would have been easy to have kind of looked at that Carl Kevin Durant matchup and seen Kevin Durant kind of cooking and been like, oh, well, this isn't working. But they really stuck to their guns with the idea where it was like, okay, we're going to put Carl on KD. We probably understand that KD is going to get his a little bit, but the goal of that is less about Carl shutting down Kevin Durant, and it's more about shutting off everyone else's water because everyone else on the team is in the ideal matchup. And that's what happened, was Kevin Durant cooked. And I don't think that was like, wow, Carl can't play. I think that was just Kevin Durant cooks a lot of people, and that's not an ideal matchup. I think Carl did an admirable job. He got a lot of it back on offense. But what really happened was Jaden McDaniels absolutely swallowed up Devin Booker. Ant was fantastic on Bradley Beal. Mike Conley chased Grayson Allen off of screens and completely neutralized that advantage. So by doing that, by just basically saying like, Kevin Durant's going to get his, we can live with that. And then not panicking when it actually happened, not seeing Kevin Durant all hit said. 4 or 5 mid ranges and being like, ah, shit, we got to get Jaden on him. And then allowing Devin Booker to get going, or allowing Bradley Beal to get going as a result of that. They were basically just like, Kevin Durant's going to cook, but we can shut off the whole rest of the team this way. Yeah, and
I love that. And it's just like, cause like when you pick your spots, like who to defend, then you're kind of guessing, and that's how they beat you. Yeah. Right. But to your point, like letting KD cook. And also my theory with this is like, KD's old. Can he do it for a, can he be the only scorer for 7 games, 4 games?
I think the fact that we won this Kevin Durant game.
Yeah.
Is a big deal.
And let's stop and say I think all three of us are pro KD, right? Do we all just
Kevin Durant is awesome.
We're just saying this.
I love KD.
Aging superstar. He might not have the legs he once had. Still top 15 scorer of all time. Top 10.
Even if he does, I think the formula for Phoenix, Phoenix is probably going to get better games from Devin Booker and or Bradley Beal at some point in this series. That we're doing like big victory laps right now. They still have to win 3 more games. Like, but also like enjoy the good stuff when the good stuff happens. Like, I think though, if Kevin Durant can play like that and the Timberwolves can win by 25, that is a huge development in the, like, then it's just like, okay, we don't need to shut off Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant can go off every game. If
he can step back,
continue to shut off everyone else's water like this. And like, I think he was fantastic on offense. I think he had a little bit of a tough game defensively, especially when he tried to guard Ant in the third quarter. That was when Ant got going a little bit. But once again, to your point, that's a 35-year-old guy with a really, really heavy burden offensively. That's a tough ask to also guard Anthony Edwards then.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a time where KD was on Cat. I was like, this is just a matchup of two people that just cannot guard each other. It's like KD's scoring on Cat. Cat's bullying KD, ooping to Rudy. I'm just like, oh, this is just two guys that don't play on that side of the ball.
To respond to your initial point, Beck, like I think we were all kind of in our last pod that we all agreed, like, that's kind of the move. Like, that's the only place you can put Cat. But it is really refreshing to see that, to your point, they didn't try to force it. Like, let's beat everybody. It's like, all right, not let KD, but like, don't overreact to KD. Try to like shut off everybody else's water. But the interesting thing about it is like, Kevin Durant still had a great game, and I was still very impressed with how well we defended him. Like,
that's just it.
Like, that to me, and to it being like not doubling him, like we're not overcompensating for him, and like you said, freeing up Beal or Booker or whoever, but to see like really solid defense between whoever was out there, so Kat or Jaden or Nah, like we saw all sorts of different matchups, but that was really impressive. And kind of what we said with them not really knowing how to play as a team, when you do shut off everybody else, it's like KD might have a 50-point game, but if you're shutting off everybody else, then they have 50 points. You know, like I was looking at the breakdown and I didn't realize how lopsided the bench scoring was, but they only had one non-starter that scored more than 2 points. So they had Royce O'Neal coming off the bench with 14, and then everyone else, there was two other guys that scored on the bench, and that was in
garbage time.
Yeah,
in garbage time. That was Okogi and Nasir Little.
Yeah, like, with under Eubanks, 4 minutes to go.
If Augie was right about one thing, it was Drew Eubanks minus 14 in 9 minutes.
Yeah, unbelievable.
With 0 points, one rebound, and a turnover.
Bro, he had this scowl on his face the entire time going up and down the court. I'm like, I hate you, dude. I hate watching you play. I love watching you get
good coached. For us, though.
All right, let's move away from Rudy. Should we go Carl? Should we go? That's what I want. Ant. Let's do Ant.
Well, wow. No, I want to talk about. I want to talk about all of them. Do we want to talk about Carl? Or do we want to talk about Ant?
Let's do Carl because I've teased it like four times now. Carl, great solid game. I think he had like 7 assists in the first half. He was distributing. He was making those smart fast plays that we talked about.
Over the
unless
shoulder
he had negative
pass
three,
that.
Unless he had negative 3 assists in the second half, that is not true.
He only had four
assists in the game.
Okay, those were all in the first half then. They were all sick. That's my bad.
Well, he didn't play that much in the second half. He only played 27 minutes tonight because of the foul trouble. I don't think.
Yeah.
Did Carl come back in after he came out in the third?
He had a 30-second stint, and then I think he fouled again, or like I think they made a little run, and they took him back out, which I love. He's going to have fresh legs, which is great.
That over-the-shoulder pass that finally worked for him, where we just talked about this, like him and Nurkic both wanting to be, sorry, Jurkic. Him and Nurkic both wanting to be Jokic with the saucy passes, and it worked. Cat had the
I was talking to my father-in-law about this. The Cat, I love the Cat saucy passes. They only work. They 100% success rate when it's going to Rudy Gobert. Isn't that crazy how the Cat
do it? It's so weird.
And like that was the first assist of the game, and then also he had like that behind, like he saved the ball from going out of bounds. Did like that lazy behind the back pass to Nah, who then drew a foul. I'm like, when Cat's having fun out there and doing that saucy shit, I'm like, this is great. This is like it's fun to watch him have fun and do that. Durf, Brandon, you have anything else besides Cat? I just think Cat had fun. I think he was passing the ball a lot. Apparently in the first quarter only, but
I just think he was fantastic, and we talked about it. He was under control. He didn't do like the stray voltage Cat stuff. He didn't like bitch and whine at the refs, even though he got two like real bullshit fouls called on him that ended up taking him out of the game in the third. But like I said, the reason they were up by 8-10 points when the avalanche really hit, when the Ant Nah Nahs avalanche hit, was because Cat was just like efficiently and methodically like carrying them offensively in the first like 2.5 quarters of that game. The back to the basket stuff, they had no answer for him on the post ups. He only shot 2 threes, but I mean, he had 19 points on 9 shots. He got to the free throw line a lot. When they got to the bonus, towards the end of the second quarter. He drew some like off ball fouls to get some free points. Like he was just really, really, really good in this game. And I think that was super encouraging. I mean, when you think about the Carl playoff history, this is one of the better games he's played when you consider the stakes. He was just like the playoff Carl demons were not out tonight.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. Is this the best example of how a Timberwolves offense should be? Just like if it sucks, let Carl trudge through it. And then once the energy comes, like get like the vibe guys in, like the Nas and Nah lineup, or like they kind of ride the wave. It feels like that's what, like, and I think in my brain, it's like, okay, if the offense is hard, give it to Cat, walking top 10 offense, blah, blah, blah. And then once it starts getting flowing and you don't want that Cat stuff anymore, you just take him out and let Ant cook. Your thoughts?
I think it's more just about the matchup. I think we've talked about this. Is a series where Cat probably should and needs to go off because Phoenix just doesn't have really good personnel to guard him. Mm-hmm. He's struggled in his career passing out of double teams, but they're going to have to double him to stop him.
Yeah.
And so if he can just make those simple passes out of the double teams, like he did today, like you say, it felt like he had more assists than he did. That's probably because he had a lot of hockey assists tonight, because instead of making like the crazy Cat over the shoulder pass to the opposite corner.
The non-Rudy over the shoulder pass, mind you.
But like if he just made the simple pass out of double teams a couple times, the ball swung around and eventually got to the opposite corner for a wide open Nikhil Alexander Walker three or a wide open Naz Reid three. And that's the offense that worked. He was so good.
I'm sorry, Brandon.
Yeah, what was your question again? Oh, how we worked through that. Yeah,
basically your thoughts on Cat, and also like, is this the best example of the offense? But I think I was just talking out my ass. But
I wouldn't say it's like a game plan thing. I think it's an option. Like I think having Cat, and we said this with him coming back, is like Naz is great, but Cat can create on his own to a level that, if you are having struggles, like he can create his own offense is really it. But so yeah, he feels a huge, huge need that we were missing without him. But with Cat's performance tonight, like my thing is, you can tell that he was intentionally trying to play faster tonight, or at least have quicker decision. Like sometimes he tries to play fast and it's like we've talked about Bull in a China shop, like he's sprinting down, you know, and he gets a dumb offensive foul because he shoves off or runs into a smaller player than him. But it was just really refreshing to see, and I think part of that is like everybody around him is playing fast too, so we've talked about he kind of like exacerbates the energy around him. So everybody's intentionally playing quick. He's got a sense of urgency. So him getting the ball and not kind of being a quicksand with it is so huge. And across him too, but across the way, like I saw little ISO ball, and that is, we've talked about this, like Ant and Cat can succeed in ISO ball, but it's not like that shouldn't be our main go-to. And tonight it was pretty clear that they were trying to make the extra pass. Like Finch has been hammering that home the last few press conferences.
That was great. Brandon, great flag on the hockey assist. Durf, good shit. Who should we talk about next? Anything else about Cat before we move on? We should probably talk about Ant now because he was sick.
I think we should finish with Ant. I want to talk about Nikhil.
Let's talk about Nikhil. Let's talk about Jaden.
Say it again.
Then, should we go Nikhil, Jaden, Naz, and then we'll do Ant. Okay, go. Go, Brandon, go.
I don't know how many times I need to get on this pod and talk about how awesome Nikhil Alexander Walker is, but man, I can't believe they just threw him into that trade.
He's the best player of that trade, yeah.
The Jazz just gave us Nikhil Alexander Walker and Mike Conley so that they could buy Russell Westbrook out.
It's so bad good,
move.
Bad not, move. Not a good trade. We've talked about it on end, how awesome he is, and he did this in the playoffs last year too. Nikhil is built for the moment, and I don't know how you quantify that beyond just saying that Nikhil Alexander Walker has got gorilla nuts. But
that, and he's hot. It's got to be that.
So hot. But I mean, 18 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, and a plus 28, and just fantastic defense on Bradley Beal and Devin Booker and Kevin Durant when he got switched onto him. Like, it's just, you need to win in the playoffs, you need like 7 dudes, like, for sure. You need like 7 playoff guys. And what Nikhil Alexander Walker has proven last season, what he proved through 82 games this season, and what he showed again tonight is that he is one of those guys. It doesn't matter what team Nikhil Alexander Walker is on. Nikhil Alexander Walker is a playoff player. He is not fazed by the moment. And my gosh, the dude just plays his ass off. He's so good.
It's so much fun. Durf, what do you got about Nikhil?
It's so crazy to me because, and we saw this a little bit last year, and like you said, in the playoffs, but it was more of his defensive performance. He had some offense, but he wasn't shooting to this degree. He hadn't developed his 3-point shot as well as he has this year. But when he gets the ball, like, above the break, and he's pushing, like, in transition, like, it's sometimes you have these guys that play limited minutes and they're, you know, lockdown defenders. Even Jaden, sometimes you see him and he's a little bit of like a, like, freshly born giraffe with his legs, like, kind of slides a little bit and like lets the defender back into it. And he can do it too, but not like every time finishes at the rim or makes the correct pass. And it's so crazy to see a guy that, and he's been playing a lot more obviously, but coming off the bench and basically having his clutch bar be 100% all the time. Like, he just always knows what to do. It's crazy,
man. Just, and the way his, again, I think we talked about this with was it with Nas? I forgot who we talked about. Like, whenever they shoot a three, it just rips the net off the rim. Nikhil's got
so high.
It's so high, dude. Nikhil's shot is just so far. All right, should we move anything else on Nikhil before I move on to, we should probably talk about Jaden next. We kind of hinted at his just intensity, kind of the tone setter out the gate. Brandon, what do you got on Jaden?
I mean, I think the biggest thing with Jaden is Jaden has had a bad season. He's still been super valuable. He's still one of the best defensive players in the NBA, but I don't think it's unfair to say that he has not lived up to the expectations this season that we had for him coming in. I think he has not only not progressed from last season, he's gotten a little bit worse. He hasn't made his 3-pointers at the same rate. He has been in and out, like, engagement wise. That was not an issue today. The shot still wasn't really there. He was 0-for-2 from 3. But from, like, an engagement level, he just set the tone from the tip. That block on Devin Booker in the first, like, couple minutes was just a microcosm of the hell he put Devin Booker in the whole night. And I think it's really cool that after he's gone through a lot of shit and people have said a lot of really awful things about Jaden on the internet this season, and today he was one of their best players on a night where everyone played well.
Mm-hmm. If he plays well in the playoffs, we'll forget about the season. Like,
exactly.
Like this is where he'll things leave. Happen. So if he crushes it, I'm sure that narrative will go away. Durf, any Jaden thoughts?
I just was going to say, like, this season, it's kind of felt like, and this isn't meant to be offensive about Jaden, but, like, it might be.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say this season has kind of reminded me of, like, the defensive version of Andrew Wiggins, where he is still, like, how Andrew Wiggins, even when he didn't care and, like, wasn't that invested in the game, would still get you, like, 20 points. Yeah. Jaden's kind of like that in defense, where, like, he'll show up, he'll still kind of be an impactful player, but he's not what we saw out of Jaden last year, like the flashes. And so it is really, and he just needs that extra sense of motivation. And games like this are games that he gets up for, where he's like, all right, I punched a wall last year and didn't get to play in the playoffs. So you can tell that he has that extra intensity. And maybe the last few weeks were waning in some of the like lesser competition games or kind of the doldrums, but you can tell that he's got that fire still.
Yeah. It's so fun to watch. Like, he can be like, to your point, Brandon, like the momentum center, like the metronome. It's interesting how our fifth starter, right? It's just like he can kind of be that motor, which is really cool. Anything else on Jaden before I move to Nuz and his amazing fast break swoop thing that he did?
No, I don't think so. So we also just like quick back to Nikhil Alexander-Walker as we talk about Naz Reid. The first two Naz Reid games in NBA playoff history tonight.
What?
One from Nikhil Alexander-Walker and one from Naz Reid. It had never happened in the playoffs before tonight, and we got two in game one.
Amazing.
Huge historic feat.
And that's coming from the Weatherman, which is now an official nickname that I gave you on Twitter as of today.
That's good.
I know we joke about Naz Reid games, but I think this was kind of the epitome of one where, like, it's like porn. You know it when you see it. I don't think you would look at Naz Reid's box score tonight and think, like, wow, what a game from Naz Reid, sixth man of the year. He was 4 for 10 from the field, 2 of 6 from three. He had 12 points, a couple rebounds, a couple assists, no turnovers, one foul. But he was plus 22, and every shot he made felt like a big momentum swinging shot. Like when the Suns kind of made their push, Naz hit a three. Naz got that steal and got out and had that like sick fast break and really fed into the big advantage today, which was kind of the bench mob with Ant in that second half of that third quarter. And he was impactful beyond the box score, I think, in this one, in a way where, once again, he hasn't been against the Suns. Three regular season games against the Suns, Naz Reid was not very good in any of those games. And today he was.
I didn't realize that this is his first playoff game since the Memphis series, like game one of the Memphis series, or maybe it was game three.
He wasn't in the rotation at the end of that Memphis series. That was only his second year, or was it his third year? Third year, probably, because he's a year older than Ant.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like, he only averaged like 5 points a game. So think about like having Jaden and Naz at full strength, are like just available, is massive for this team. I kind of forgot, like, Naz was in fact in that series injured last season. Obviously, Jaden injured too. So have the full team in the offs right now is just really, it's making my heart rate rise. Sturf, what do you got on Naz Reid?
It's just to your point, his availability is so big. And we kind of talked about this, but the deep bench, and I know he's not deep bench, but like him kind of being the next man up and then guys behind him getting experience is just huge for playoff. Like, I know that we have a shortened lineup with playoffs, but there are moments where you might have injuries. Like, we still don't know. We don't know what's going on with Kyle Anderson yet. Like, yeah. The early report, Rosen was saying that because they were reporting from the lobby area of the Target Center, they said he like limped by.
Dane said he had a noticeable limp in the locker room after the game.
Which, like, obviously we'll see what the long-term impact is, but like, I'm sure that he probably won't play on Tuesday unless it's truly just like a stinger or, you know, the swelling goes down.
It's a hip pointer, which I think is a bruise.
Oh, for some reason I thought it was his ankle. What play
He got kneed in the hip.
Okay.
We keep talking about shortening the lineups, but I saw 12 guys in our lineup tonight in our rotation. Not too shabby.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's really, less than our normal 16 or 15, I mean. Yeah.
But I mean, really, it was more the real rotation once Kyle got hurt. The real rotation tonight was like 7.5, basically. Like,
yeah. J-Mac
it was
played?
The starters. It was Naz Reid. That was a good one.
Thanks.
As the starters, it was Naz Reid, it was Nikhil, and then Monte Morris for like 10 minutes. Also quietly super impactful, good Monte Morris game. But that was really it. Like, Kyle played 5 minutes before he got hurt, and then the other guys that played were in garbage time, and that's what happens in the playoffs. Like, Jordan McLaughlin has been fantastic this season, but You're just not, it's going to be him or Monte Morris. It's not going to be both of them. And I was honestly, I don't disagree with it, but I was a little surprised that it was Monte Morris instead of Jordan McLaughlin in this game tonight, just because it looked like when Cat came back in those last two games that Monte Morris had been the one that was squeezed out. But Finch went with Morris, and it looks like it was the right decision. I wonder if that's just got more to do with the fact that Monte Morris has played a lot of playoff games in his career.
That's probably
and
what
so
it
you
is.
Just kind of give him the first crack at it. And Jordan McLaughlin is kind of always better as a break glass in case of emergency guy to come in and like plus minus King save you when you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
Than like a staple of the rotation.
Yeah.
But do we have anything else? Like, we're circling the big one on
let's
all
talk
of
about
this.
Ant. Let's
wait,
let's,
have
let's,
we not talked with, about one? Is there one we're overlooking right now?
Anthony freaking Edwards. That
oh, that
was,
guy.
You know, that guy. The third quarter ascent was nuts.
Tony Edwards.
Shit to Katie. Tony Edwards. Tony Towns. Shout out to Dylan. Where do you even start? Just like the scoring barrage was crazy.
Okay,
the swagger,
I
want to
say,
confidence.
I just want to start out with like an analogy. Yeah. I was thinking about this after the game, and like, I don't know if this hits for you guys. I don't know if you were Dragon Ball Z watchers, but like Anthony Edwards is like, he has these levels to him where I'm like, he just goes like Super Saiyan, and then like he realizes he needs to go Super Saiyan 2 and Super Saiyan 3 and 4. And he always answers the call in the big moment. So like, even when he starts out slow in like the first quarter, it's like he only wants to exert as much energy as he has to. And so he's like, all right, you know, I'm going to like make a couple plays here. And he's like, okay, now I really got to turn on. Okay, now I really got to turn on. And his like ascension is just insane to watch.
Bro, that and then the crowd was, we were losing our minds in that third quarter. I'm glad we're recording today. Monday's pod with very cool guests.
Yeah.
Not gonna blow our proverbial. But bro, I will not have a voice tomorrow. After DJing and now this, like Ant had us going. Like he was engaging with the crowd. Cat was engaging with the crowd. I think it's very funny to watch out. This is something I noticed, how Ant impacts the game. And we know he's a great teammate. When Carl did something, Ant was like cheering and we were cheering. And then when the camera panned to Ant going hard, the crowd just erupted like, oh, Ant's going hard. So we have to go even harder. Something happened when Nikhil, where the same thing happened, where Ant is impacting like everything, whether it be on court stuff or getting the fans involved from the bench. I don't know how you quantify that, but there's something going on with how magnetic, like there's something going on between the crowd and Ant. It's like superstar shit. He's like a pastor.
He has like just the perfect, he has just like the perfect marriage of skill and charisma where people love Ant and he's really effing good. And so when he goes off, people are even more excited about it. And he loves when the crowd goes off and he loves giving it back to the crowd when they're cheering for him. But also just like charisma, crowd stuff aside, it shouldn't be lost on anyone how nuts it is, the stuff he's doing as a 22-year-old in the playoffs.
And defensively too. He just took the ball
away from KD. He just took it away mid-stride.
He had four turnovers. Like, it took him a little bit to figure things out in the first quarter. He had four turnovers. He was over dribbling a little bit. But when he figured it out, he figured it out. And like, I think that the week off did a lot for him. He was 4-for-8 from three, and he had just been in a 2-month-long shooting slump, probably because of the burden that had been on him offensively with Cat out. But if his legs are back underneath him, and this is now the third year in a row where it looks like the playoffs just kind of activate another gear of an already like second team all NBA level player. And he's 22.
Guys, I don't know what to think about it. But stop saying things that make me really excited.
I think we need to really like step back and appreciate how much younger he is than all the other best players on these playoff teams. Like how much younger he is than Devin Booker. How much younger he is than LeBron James and Kevin Durant. Shea. How much younger he is than Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. You want to hear a crazy one? He's younger than Jalen Williams on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Bro, it's
how much? What's Luka 24?
Luka's 23.
No, Luka's
25.
25 maybe.
It's just, yeah, it is. It is absolutely nuts to see him be
Luka's 25
at or above the level
of
other superstars. And you're like,
guest on the pod.
Future guest like, on the pod. Sorry, Jeff, what's up?
You're fine. I just was saying.
Am I fine? Because when I interrupt you, you interrupt me and you go on a big old tirade about how I'm the worst friend in the world. So are you really fine?
Hey,
or are you just masking
don't
your
make
pain
me
right
drive
now?
Over to your house and smooch you right on the.
You don't even forehead. Know where I am right now. I'm homeless.
Yes. Well, you've got nice curtains behind you.
Because of woke walls. Giving me everything. That's
woke walls?
True.
Like wall? Like your walls are white?
That's funny.
I think it was a Tim Walls joke.
I thought he was saying he was covering up his woke walls with the curtains.
Fun fact about Governor Walls. And I DJ weddings like next to the governor's mansion. And like one time
crashes
I was carrying my equipment. Well, that would be sick. Depending on if like the people were normal. But like his cat just like wanders around. So like I just saw people around gathering. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, oh, the governor's cat's here. And apparently the cat comes there every night and just gets pet by drunken wedding guests. It's like this
sounds
gorgeous,
like a,
fat,
it's a great,
tabby.
Great life for the cat.
I forgot the cat's name, but like, yeah, sorry. What are you talking about?
Ant, just how good Ant is. So this isn't necessarily his play. Well, it is a little bit. So the interaction with him and KD was unbelievable. Him like going at KD and winning one-on-one several times and then talking shit right to KD. KD's just got this big smile on his face, like, hey, how do I get traded to the Wolves mid-series? Like,
but no joke. This is why we love KD, because KD is not so thin-skinned, like.
No, not at all.
He's not Klay Thompson being like, 1, 2, 3, 4 rings. You can't talk shit until you've won as many championships as me. Kevin Durant's just like, this is basketball.
That was weirdly accurate.
Klay Thompson's voice is Bert and Ernie put together.
But it's like, Kevin Durant is not so thin-skinned that like, Kevin Durant understands the give and take of basketball. Like, Ant was cooking, so Ant gets to talk shit. And later in the series, Kevin Durant's probably going to be cooking. And guess what? Then he gets to talk shit. That's how it works. That's how it works on Twitter, too. The Wolves just won by 25 points. We get to talk a bunch of shit.
Yeah, it's gamesmanship.
We're going to lose at some point in the playoffs a game, and that team gets to talk shit to us. And like we just have to wear it. That's how it goes.
That theory isn't proven yet. We don't know we're going to lose yet. We haven't lost in the playoffs
this
yet.
Is
we don't
fair.
Know what that feels like, and we don't know the circumstances of which it happens. Yeah, shout out Anthony Edwards. Anything else?
That whole thing with KD, but did you guys see in his interview when he was talking about KD? And, like, they're asking him about him going back and forth, and you could see him just glowing up. Somebody was tweeting about this, about how it's like he's loving this. Like, he gets to go against
his favorite player.
Yeah, he gets to go against his childhood hero and beat him, like, one-on-one. And, like, he's even said, like, few plays out there he made like 5 or 6 in a row, and I was just a fan out there like damn, how's he doing this? I'm like, that's so just, cool, dude.
But that's what on top of him just being so good, that's why we love Anthony Edwards, is because he's just like really authentic and real. And when he's getting interviewed and they're like, what was it like playing against your childhood idol Kevin Durant, and he's like a little kid. He's just like, it was so cool to like be out there playing against Kevin Durant and be winning. And like, yeah. I'm watching him doing cool stuff. I'm like, whoa, that's so cool. And then he gets to talk shit to him. Like, it's just so awesome.
And he was talking about how he like, when he met AP, like back yeah. in the locker room, he's like, I used to play with him in Madden all the time. Like, dude, Ant's having a great day. Yeah. Childhood Ant, inner child Ant is just having a lovely 420. Anything else you want to say about Ant? Or should we just threaten people and end the pod?
No. So, yeah, just big picture. I said this before, but enjoy enjoy the good things. Enjoy things when they're good. Don't. The series is still long. Like, the Wolves got the first punch today. There's another game on Tuesday. Be excited about it. The Wolves demonstrated that they have answers for the Suns, which I think was the most important thing today. My opinion of the series doesn't change. I don't now think the Wolves are just going to steamroll this series. I think we're still in for a long fight. But talk shit when the Wolves win by 25.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, my gosh. Durf, any parting words?
It is great. Like, this game, proving that we can beat the Suns. We now, this was like proof of concept, but there is going to be a response. There are going to be adjustments made. We aren't going to see the same variation of the Suns for the rest of the series that we saw tonight, but yeah, let's have a good time. Like, it's okay to be high on this team. It's okay to, I had that speech that Jordan just found from the Archives.
You're talking about last year's team.
I was talking about last year's team. Okay, I saw the Tim Connelly dream. You guys didn't. And I saw what Luka Garza did.
He drank the water of life and he saw the future. He got confused.
I just didn't see the four instead of the three.
Speaking of Luka Garza, one of my coworkers texted me after the game and said, "We have the best Luka in the league."
It's true. But yeah, it's just so much fun right now. I mean, winning is always fun, but I was reflecting on this today and like being weirdly sentimental about how fun the Timberwolves community is and how there's just like this collective sense of community right now, not just because we're winning, but like, it's just this way with playoffs where you feel the sense of fandom and the sense of like coming together. And yeah, there's the in-person stuff, but there's the online connection and there's friendships formed around this. And it's just super fun to see everybody come out, have a good time, enjoy the wins. And yeah, let's just keep it up. Let's have a fun playoff series.
Speaking of that Timberwolves community, if you want to support your fifth favorite Timberwolves podcast in the space, make sure you like us and subscribe to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Remember, 1 stars or 5 stars. If you're going to say something, stand on it. And make sure you follow us on social media at No Pants Crunch. And am I missing anything?
Something about driving.
If you're driving super stupid residential area where there's kids and pets around, I'm gonna
These are getting so weird.